So this week, it's been a rough one. Work's been hard. Stuff's been going on. It's been rough. But you know what I like to do sometimes? This week, I treated myself. Treat yourself, as you should. I treated myself to a little thing called boba. It's delicious.
Not bad. My wife is a big fan.
I love it. It's one of those things that I if I'm just having a really shitty day, I'm like, you know what'll cheer me up? A little boba.
It's summer now, so I go to the fruit bobas. So I get like the mango with a strawberry jelly is like my go-to summer boba drink.
Solid.
Mango milk tea with strawberry jelly.
Mm. I already feel like such a fucking boomer right now.
What do you treat yourself with, Jonathan?
Well, if we're talking about boba, I get Thai tea, 50% sweet, no bubbles. Fuck your bubbles. I just want a good drink.
Don't get the bubbles. You don't even replace it with pudding or jellies or anything.
Wait, what?
There's so many options.
I'm perfectly happy with Thai tea. Tea is amazing.
Wait, I make Thai tea at home for I cold brew it overnight.
Wait,
are you cold brew it overnight?
Great for your 1% in your tea fucking franchise there. I happen to just not have that.
I'm still hung up on pudding. Wait, there's pudding in boba?
Yes.
I didn't even know there was pudding boba.
Pudding is so good. It's like a custard pudding, and it's like these little globule jelly puddings that are at the bottom, and they just like slurp up through the big straw. Oh my god, they're so good. You have
they're
to try.
They're little baby gelatinous cubes.
Yeah, they're little baby gelatinous cubes. You have to try the pudding. So good.
Okay, I feel like a boomer because like I don't need something to chew in my drink.
And then the jellies are kind of like chewy, crunchy. They're like they taste like little pieces of like gelatinous fruit.
To be fair, I've only ever done the black tapioca things.
Yeah. Those are good too.
I don't need it. I just want to drink something. I don't need to fucking chew on something too.
Your favorite?
That is a very big, very boomer take.
It is. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Just get my tea with all that dumb frilly shit.
Crucify me in the comments. Crucify me. Make me a martyr. You fucking people who are older than me who are calling me a boomer.
John, you can get the Thai tea. Tea bags, and you just like leave them in a mason jar overnight in 8 ounces of water, and then you throw ice and cream in it in the morning, and you have an incredible Thai iced tea. I do that several times a week.
How many bags? Nice, nice. How many bags you do?
It's one bag per 8 ounce of water
for 8 ounces of water.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so right. I always fill a mason jar to 16, and then I make two for me and Rebecca. I do two bags, I just split them, add cream and simple syrup and ice in the morning, and I mix that instead of doing coffee every day.
See, I had a revelation today that I need to start using simple syrup instead of trying to just always have a spoon and mix it.
So easy to make.
Get the granules.
So easy. Like, one equal parts in a pot as much as you want to make, and then you just boil it, stir it, and dump it.
Wait a gosh darn minute.
You didn't know how to make simple syrup?
No. Let me tell you a story. I was a child.
Oh, here we are with Tim.
I'm
going to
go
story
over
again.
And smoke my pipe. It'll take about 20 minutes. Maybe I'll get halfway through the story.
You smoke a joint? I'll be back.
Yeah,
I was a child. My family. I don't think we could have, but maybe not just afford syrup, or maybe just my family was just too cheap. But we wouldn't get Aunt Jemima's. We wouldn't get maple syrup. What my dad would do was he'd put some sugar and add some water in a pot. He'd bring it almost to a boil, and then we'd pour that on our pancakes and waffles. And my dad said it was his grandma's syrup recipe. Sometimes it'd just be straight white sugar. Sometimes it'd be half and half brown sugar and white sugar. But I thought I was so unique. Like, people would tell me, oh, are you making Timmy syrup today? Like, I literally had relatives that would ask me if there was Timmy syrup, which was actually like my great-grandmother's recipe. But then my whole childhood is now shattered because you're telling me, Kelly, that it is literally just the recipe for simple syrup. Yes. Is that what you're telling me?
That's what I'm telling you.
You destroyed him.
Oh my gosh. It's so funny.
A broken man.
I was just thinking today, I was like, man, like my Thai tea would be so good if I just knew how to make simple syrup.
Yeah, it's literally just do a cup of sugar, a cup of water, put them in a pot until it boils and dissolves, and then just pour it out.
Oh my gosh.
Into a container.
It is technically syrup, yes.
Damn.
Oh yeah, that is what that is.
Damn.
That makes a very thin syrup. I think you have to do less water if you want a thicker syrup.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, like, of course I knew that part. Like, when it was used for pancakes.
Right.
Fun fact, the way I would normally treat myself is I would go to a local diner and get myself some fucking waffles, dude.
Ooh. Oh, dude, hell yeah. Oh,
the man. Most unhealthy thing possible. Like, yeah. if I'm treating myself... Yeah, if I'm treating myself, it's waffles. That period.
Dude, John wanting to go to a diner to treat himself is so on brand for him.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah, that's fair.
There's, honestly, it's the same. Like, there's diners and going around to get like the greasiest burger or something just like, just please, like that's all I want is a nice, like double, like an 18-ounce beer and a burger, fries. Maybe sweet potato fries. That's usually my arteries.
Let's go.
I mean, it's something I barely have that often, but it's like one of those weeks I'm just like, yeah, I'm just going to like the diner, like Double T Diner or something. I know it's bad for me.
Oh, dude, Double T Diner.
I mean, there's a place near me called Honeybees. Get you some matzo
ball soup.
Oh, yeah. But there's a place near me called Honeybees, and it's like a diner that's been there forever, apparently. And they have, like, you know, sausage gravy. Like, you know, it's typical shit. You're like, this is all bad, but oh, it's so good. But yeah, like, that's the same thing, though. Like, I'm like, you know what? I don't feel like cooking. I earned this.
There's a... actually, right next to that same boba place, there is a Amish market, and I love going there because they have hot dog logs and pretzel dogs, and they got like breakfast sausage logs, where it's just like it's just a sausage burrito thing, but wrapped in like, you know, like pretzel dough, and holy crap, there is not a bad one there. And then while you're there, of course, they make shakes, and so I can get like a nice coffee shake there. And holy crap,
where if it isn't these? Like, are you talking about the Amish market?
Yeah, the Amish market right there.
Yeah. Oh, Amish market, yeah, that place.
Amish market, pretzel dogs.
Yes,
and they sell out.
Oh, like, yeah, every time. Yeah,
one time they should.
Yeah, one time my dad, I don't know why, he just randomly called me. It was like a Wednesday evening, I think it was Wednesday. He's like, I'm going to go to the Amish market because it's open on Thursdays, and I'm going to get me a breakfast pretzel, you know, thing. And I'm like, all right, cool, Dad. And just kind of that was our conversation. And the next day he called me, and he was like, they ran out of breakfast pretzel dogs.
Those fucking bastards.
And he's like, I just got the pepperoni one. And I'm like, well, it was still delicious. He's like, yeah, it's really good.
Obviously, but it doesn't have eggs.
They're never bad.
That's the thing. Like, even when they run out, they got something else, and it's just as good.
Yeah.
I've literally never tasted anything bad from an Amish market.
I've had bad stuff there before.
Mark's like, wait a minute.
Like, there's always, like, you know, the certain of the deli meats that they have are usually pretty good. But I know I've had at one point, I think it was a place called Byler's, which was next to Dover.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We go to Byler's.
Yeah. Like, there was, like, one point, I think, as a kid, maybe it was just because my predilection to liking certain candy.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not like the candy there at all, because it was just like, like, look at this. You know, I was, like, eating. I'm like, what the hell is this? Is this garbage?
I mean, what is this? Simple maple candies? Get this out of my face.
Honestly, I don't like maple candies, so. But
the smell
was weird, too.
To tell everyone what Byler's is. So Byler's is, it's an Amish market, so they sell a lot of very good, wholesome Amish food, and they got like a deli. It's your typical grocery store. But what they do is they have a section where they resell stuff. So if a label has changed on a box of Pop-Tarts, Kellogg isn't going to sell it anymore, and so Byler's will buy it from them and sell it at an amazing discount. So you never know really what they're going to have, but you know that if you go there, you're going to find fantastic deals. Mm-hmm. And so it's like just far enough away where we like to go once every two or three months or something like that. But man, it is if you have a place like that, or if you can even find one within that distance, go there, stock up. It's fantastic. Hmm. But today we are going to be treating our listeners to a brand new episode.
Hey!
So,
but it's not waffles, though.
No.
It's not waffles.
It's not waffles.
I've been going nuts about recording this episode.
Yeah,
this tower,
you have been. You have
like, been. I'm so excited. I've been lighting you guys up. I know. Like, yeah. Let's record more.
As a GM, whenever the players are talking amongst themselves about how excited they are for something, you're just like, I'm doing something right as a GM.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So let's talk about what happened last episode. You guys got up here onto the sixth floor of the Tanison Tower, and you found three Scarlet Tribe members who seemed to be spending their off time bragging about people they have captured to sell into slavery. You know, whatever floats your awful, evil boat.
Nah, man, whatever sinks it, man. We're whatever
sinks
boats.
Your awful, evil boat. That's a good way to put it.
Whatever sinks your boat. I often brag about the slaves I've taken.
These three apparently have better tactics because they realized that Kezra was a caster, and they started to gang up on him. So while the female bruiser in the center of the room is dealing with Benson, they have been focusing on Kezra. Mm. But it is your turn, Kezra.
Oh dang!
Oh man, you are going to be so proud of me. Kezra will.
Uh-huh.
Man. I'm really worried this thing has attack of opportunity. Kezra is going to step backwards.
Okay.
So I'm back in the doorway. I'm going to reach into my like side bag. I have like a satchel or something. Okay. And I pull out a potion.
Oh,
I'm going to use an item.
Oh, no.
Whoa.
What? Don't do that consumable.
It's a consumable.
Put that back in the bag.
This might be the first consumable we've used in this book. And I'm going to drink a 10th level potion, which is a greater antidote.
Interesting.
For 6 hours, I will get a +4 bonus to fortitude.
Oh my gosh.
For 6 hours. So if you have more poisoners, Jake, they can suck it. I'm going to drink a 10th level antidote.
That's a pretty good idea.
So
just slaps a little nicotine patch on his shoulder and says, fuck you.
So that is going to... that's going to buff my fortitude, which I assume I get another one at the end of this turn.
Yes, because you are suffering from, I forget what poison it is. What is it?
It is a poison. I don't know what it is, though.
I think it's the giant scorpion.
Both of the paladins have master, like, fortitude. Like, you could have given it to them, man.
Probably not, actually. speaking of the paladins, Sir Benson, it is your turn.
Sir Benson.
Wait, do I get a save?
Get the save, and let me pull up what it is.
Man, my fortitude is now at +23.
Holy crap.
Ugh.
And I rolled another 3, so it's a 26.
Holy
I rolled
man.
A 3 last time, too.
Do me a favor and just don't do that again.
26? Does 26 beat the DC?
Hold on.
I have a giant bonus.
let me see. So,
so big.
It was. Let's see. They hit you with the giant scorpion venom, if I remember correctly.
Yes, that's what it was. The giant scorpion venom.
Okay. and yes. So 23.
I got 26.
26. Oh, okay. Then yeah, that is a success.
Oh my god.
I had a +23 to my bonus.
Oh, okay.
You rolled a 3.
Oh, I rolled a 3.
I think missed that part.
So, the poison goes away.
Okay.
Oh man, I get this for 6 hours.
That's unfucking believable.
Oh, I only had one of those, and it was in my inventory. So.
Yep.
We would never use it otherwise. I mean,
aw, it looks like it used to belong to old Addy.
Oh, yeah, thanks, Addy.
That makes sense. Benson, it's your turn now.
Okay, so Benson is in a bit of a rough area here because he wants to help his companions, but he realizes that the position that he is currently in, if he moves to engage with anybody other than the person directly in front of him, he will instantly be flanked.
Mm.
So Benson literally has to just trust his companions right now, and he's got to stand up and just swing at this person in front of him, because that's his job right now. Okay, 14 on the die for what I imagine is a pretty decent roll. So 33.
That is a hit, my friend.
Beautiful.
Damage is a 10. Go to hell. All right. Second swing. 15 on the die for 29.
That is a miss.
Uh-huh. And since we're just doing this, we're going to swing for the fences. Nope. That was a 3 on the die. Miss.
All right. Elk, it is your turn. You are now out of sight of anyone in the room.
That's true. I guess I'll leave. They're all gone.
The Scarlet, the Poisoners have moved to the west side of the room, specifically away from Elkwood, because Kezzer happened to be on the other side. But,
yo, guess who's back? I'm entering the room here.
Guess who's back again?
There he is. Okay,
Shady's back.
Boom, right here. Which one was the one that I was hit hammering?
This is so the farthest one looks to be pretty bloody.
Oh, right. So yeah, he's still gonna take one action to move into the room and just line up a shot. He's like, oh.
Her back is turned, and you can see that her blade is dripping with some blood and poison. So,
he's like, oh.
I believe she got a strike off with it.
Oh, you believe you're getting away from me? That is a 29 to hit.
That is a hit.
Well, 31 technically, but yeah. All right. Boom. How much damage? Oh my god, 30 points of damage.
Oh, Jesus.
6, 4, 4, 7, 5. Plus proficiency.
I hate you. Barely
alive.
Okay. Still alive.
Barely. Yeah.
That was all my actions.
That was it. Okay. Yep, Grimshaw.
Yes. With his first action, he sees the Scarlet Triad member looking like it has an ounce of life left, and he calls out, "Milani, smite her." And I'm going to roll a religion check using a battle prayer.
Okay. And this goes against their will DC.
Come on, right. Milani.
It
come
is their
on.
Weakest. So.
Will you succeed the will DC?
I don't think so. No? Not with a 24.
That is exactly a success.
Hey, let's go! Oh my god.
I like the Grimshaw. He still kind of likes you.
Milani's like, eh.
I like that Grimshaw likes to let Milani swing the Morning Star every now and then.
Yeah.
I understand Grimshaw likes to make his own pancake syrup, but it's okay.
Milani's pancake syrup.
She's a big Aunt Jemima.
I told you that in confidence, Benson. that is 3 points of damage.
Oh, she had 3 hit points left, so please describe Milani's kill.
The Milani's kill, unnaturally, you see thorned rose vines come up from the floor and entangle her entire body and drag her down to the floor, and just a pool of just blood gushing. And you see the vines soak up the blood, and you're just left with the dry husk of a Scarlet Triad member.
Benson's like fighting this other person, like, that seems kind of necromantic to me. I don't know. Like, are we trusting this guy?
That's cool. It's divine. It's divine.
They're divine thorns. They're divine thorns.
Benson's like, I don't know. I will attack Grimshaw right now. He's truly the evil one here.
Go away, bruiser lady. I have to fight the real demon.
You still have 2 actions, if I remember.
You know, it's so funny. I was going to go and give Kezzer support, but Kezzer's a big boy. He can take care of himself. So he's going to get into... Hold on. I had everyone selected. I'm going to go into flanking with my boy Benson, and we're going to take out this bruiser.
All right. Big boy fight
Milani
over there.
Milani says you're next. Ooh, baby. And Milani was right with a 37.
Yeah, that's a hit.
Oh, man. Ooh.
Wait, he's flanking. Is that's not a crit?
That's not a crit.
Let's not be. It's not a question.
I know. Natty 18. You have to get a nat 20 on these bruisers. Like, there's no other way.
This was literally a boss a chapter ago.
True.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it takes 16 points of piercing damage.
Alrighty. Nasty.
And that is my turn.
Right. It comes to Avena's turn, and she's like, surrounded by maggots. And she is going
maggots
to...
who are kicking the shit out of you, I will add. But okay.
Honestly, the way we're set up in this room, we are perfectly balancing this room together.
Yeah. 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 This was some good movement.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she is going to get out of flanking to step into this corner.
Hmm.
And then she is going to turn around and she's going to try to trip you, Benson.
Oh, no.
Oh.
So first off, the athletics check. With the club, 38.
Please remind me
reflex
how I calculate.
DC. 10 plus your reflex.
Oh, yeah, she does it.
All right.
Is it a crit?
No, I don't think so. Oh, yeah, no, it is. It is.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you think you take you take damage?
You fall hard. It's 1d6 damage.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a d6. Hold on.
Yeah.
She throws bludgeoning.
Throws the banana peel. Oh, no.
No, it's way cooler than that. Okay, and then she's going to do her pummeling flurry. So she's going to do her two attacks now. So first one is going to be a... I think she's going to kick you. I think she's going to kick you first.
That's uncool.
Remember, you're flat-footed.
Yes, you are flat-footed. Off guard. So is this 32 total?
That'll hit.
All right. Here's where the fun comes in. Because Batter the Fallen... lets me add a fuck ton of damage to this. There's 26 points of bludgeoning damage.
Ouchie.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I think you mean 14 points of damage. And you get a free step?
You cannot step when you are on the ground.
No, Milani, move him.
Milani, do it! Do it!
Just Benson, like, rolls half-heartedly. He's like, eh.
I try to do a coffee grinder, but I fail.
And then she's gonna last swing with the great club. Okay. Miss on that. Okay.
So she kicks Benson down. Grimshaw does a beautiful prayer to his god, and then Benson starts to get up, and she brings the club down, and it just goes right off his shoulder pauldron.
Punk. Okay. Next is the Scarlet Tribe Poisoner. So she... seeing the predicament, she had already poisoned you once. All right, so she's gonna. She saw you drink something.
That's straight up Everclear.
She could spend an action and roll a knowledge on it.
That is true.
She could spend all her actions rolling knowledges on.
No, it's true. Let's see. I think that she is going to... Actually, I think she's going to go for it. So she is going to try and... she's going to take out her short sword. And she's going to do her... What's it called? Running poison strike.
Mm.
So as she runs, she strikes her blade across a vial.
Swing. I just imagine she's running and she's like, running poison strike! Yeah!
Running poison strike!
Yeah. That's at least a third level move.
You know, did you guys play Soul Calibur 2?
Yes.
I think it was.
Yep.
Do you remember Taki? She was like the ninja lady.
I hated her so much.
Yeah, so she had this like running, it was a very short like running strike where she would do like a blood curdling scream when she did it. Mm-hmm. It was like a distracting like maneuver. Gosh. That's what I imagine this is. It's like super short and quick. But she would draw as she did it. That's why she's a ninja, so. Anyway, so the short sword against you, Kezra, is going to be a 25. Imagine that's a miss.
Yes.
Okay. And that is her turn.
Yeah.
So it's now your turn, Kezra.
All right, Kezra. Kezra is going to summon his dragon claws.
Okay.
He is going to burst into a rage. His eyes just go like white, crackling thunder. And he's got blue scales all over him. And I'm going to just reach out and fucking rake her with these claws.
Alright.
Alright, that'll do. 29.
29 is a hit.
Alright. Four and... That'll be 17 damage.
Whoa.
Oh, right.
Not bad at all.
Oh my gosh. Pretty solid.
Okay. Is that all your actions?
Oh, actually, I didn't add my rage. So 19 damage.
19.
So 19 damage, and that is my turn, yes. Claws, okay. Rage, attack.
All right, Sir Benton, it is your turn.
All right, Benton is just going to yell out to Elkwood, "We'll take this one, help Kazra," and he will swing.
All right, you're on the ground.
Oh, no, he will stand up.
All right, attack of opportunity.
You yelling at from the ground was a little less... A little less cool.
We got him!
She's on the ropes! Clink, clink, clink.
Laying on your back in your full plate like a turtle that just got turned over.
32 to hit.
Misses.
Okay. Wait, is it...
Because you stand and then they
you
get
stand
the attack.
In that, yeah. Yep.
It's right. Cool like that.
Yeah, you lose the flat-footed first. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now you have been stood up and no attack of opportunity on you.
He got knocked down. Oh, he's up again.
He gets back up again.
And you're never going to keep me down because I just rolled a fucking natural 20.
Oh my god.
Come on!
Oh my god.
You don't keep Benton in the corner.
We should call... our subtitle for this podcast is The Luckiest Podcast.
Oh, man.
The Luckiest D&D Podcast.
This is an interesting one for you. Armor damage. So it's still double damage. The target's armor also takes the damage, applying hardness normally.
Oh wow!
So find out the hardness of their armor.
Oh, okay, so they have a chain shirt.
It takes all the crit damage.
Oh my gosh!
Oh, wow, I could break it.
Oh my gosh!
He's likely going to break this armor.
Oh.
Like even minimal damage doubled should.
I mean, I don't know how much chain shirt is. Chain shirt's probably got at least a hardness of 5, maybe a little more.
I would say so. Unfortunately, it doesn't say it in the...
You have to look up material hardness. I'll find it for
right.
you.
It's not in... Yeah.
They have it listed pretty easy.
She just has a regular chain shirt. It's not fancy.
He's going to fuck it up. I'll look it up. You can just roll your damage.
All right, John. Give me the damage.
So that was a 4 and a 5 on the die.
Okay.
Plus 6, so that's 30 points of damage.
Oh. Alright, it has... Alright, Steeler Iron. I guess it would be hardness of 9.
I was going to say, it's just...
Chain is 5, sorry.
Chain's 5, okay. So
25.
So 25.
Does it get destroyed? Like, how much life does it have?
20 HP.
You
literally cleave this
Benton
fucking chain shirt off
up.
This person.
No, he stands up and he was like, "Nice kick." And then he just slams his sword. Like, it's not even mostly the barrel of the sword. Mostly it's the pommel in his fist that he just slams into this person's chest.
It's not broken, it's destroyed.
Rings, yes. You hear ting, 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 as rings just fall everywhere.
Holy shit.
Her chain shirt falls off and you see underneath she had a tap out shirt on, so you realize she's...
Oh, she's a piece of shit anyway, okay.
She's the real deal.
But her AC's lowered by like, what, 4 or 5? Like,
yeah, probably.
This is huge. Mm-hmm. This is so huge.
Chain shirt's either 3 or 4.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, the light chain shirt might only be 2. I can't remember. I think it's 3.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. So, okay.
Oh my gosh. Just like a permanent AC debuff.
Incredible crit.
Yeah.
And it was double damage still.
Oh my gosh.
And I know. Still have one more action.
You still have one more action.
Come on. There's no way.
AC is
there's
down.
There's no yes. way. There isn't actually a way. That was a shit roll. That was a 5 on the die, so.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Hell of a turn.
Yeah, I'm perfectly fine with that turn.
Yeah, right? That's a gorgeous turn.
Elkwood.
Okay. So Elkwood, like after Benson, he's like, "Oh, well, Kazra," and looks over and sees Benson just freaking destroyed, like the armor and all that stuff. Because Okay, well put.
I've got this shit.
Yep, so one action. He's going to target the other one, and I love that they're definitely not in volley range from this distance.
Yeah.
At least just don't take two action hunter's aim.
The tower has a wide enough floor area that you don't get that. So yeah.
See, I love map design.
See, I love this. It's 8 on a die for a 29 plus hunter's aim, so it's plus 2, so it's 31.
Yep.
So that's it. With a plus 23. It's great. Takes two actions, but it's totally worth it.
And you said this against the poisoner?
Oh, yeah. That's okay. 29 points of damage.
Oh, gosh.
1, 5, 5, 6, 8.
Yeah, this tower is 65 feet across, so it's a beefy tower.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's one of many wizard towers.
Yeah.
Okay. And anything else on your turn?
That is it.
Okay. Grimshaw.
Grimshaw takes a step, a mechanical step.
Okay.
Effectively cornering this bruiser.
Yep.
Oh, yes. And as he steps up, he says, "Now you see me." Gets a 34 on his deception check to feint.
Yes.
So against perception DC, if I beat it, flat-footed. If it's crit, it's flat-footed even longer.
So, wait, what was your total?
34.
That is a success.
Flat-footed to me, no armor.
No armor.
Dang.
I wonder what this is.
And he just digs in with the Morningstar with a stabbing motion for a 30 to hit.
Oh, 30, that is a hit.
Yes. And that's a hit because of all the stuff we got going on. Oh my gosh.
I wonder what AC is now.
Oh my gosh, 17 points of damage.
Big dude damage.
Gracie's definitely in the 20s now.
Oh yeah, definitely. So easier to crit.
So I can crit at least on an 18 now.
Right.
Okay. And that was your whole turn there?
Grimshaw? Yes, step, feint, attack.
Okay, so she enjoying this engagement you guys have, and the fact that you've cornered her now, she's like, "Oh yeah, all right, let's go." And she is going to do the same thing to you, Benson.
Oh god,
sounds right.
This is getting a little weird, Benson.
She's enjoying that a little too much over there. Uh-huh. What are you doing to her? I can't see. I don't know, but I'm fucking hard.
Oh no,
that's your armor, Benson. It's always hard.
Hashtag does not safe have, for work comments by John.
Does John have the Henry VIII codpiece on his armor set?
Oh my god.
If broken, the armor explodes, killing both.
It's going to be a 28 to trip you?
Nope. Well, wait, let me make sure. Yeah.
Reflex DC.
Reflex plus 10?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, she gets it.
Mm. Okay, so trip.
Yeah,
she's
dick.
Going to pummeling flurry again. So going to kick you. Right in the head. 26 to hit you. Imagine so. And then great club on top of that. 32 on the great club, however.
Misses. Oh no, I'm prone. That hits.
Yeah. You're prone. Yep. So that is going to be 30 points of bludgeoning damage.
Milani, 30, please cock block this super weird interaction.
And you take 12 less damage.
Thank you very much.
Whatever you guys are doing over there, stop it. Just kill her.
I'm trying.
The sexual tension is too powerful. I can't do it. It comes to the poisoner's turn. She is going to do the same thing there, Kezzer. She's going to put another dose of this stuff onto the blade and try to stab you with it.
Bring it on.
Having this big of a bonus to a stat just feels godly.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's a miss. She do it again?
What was the garbage? Was that low?
22. Oh, yeah. It was horrible. And then the other one was I rolled 2 3s.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you did. God,
horrible. Okay, and that is unfortunately her turn there. Kezra, it's your turn.
All right. All right, does a 31 beat your fortitude DC?
31. That does beat my fortitude DC.
Kessler just reaches out and grabs her throat with his one dragon hand, and then just raises the lightning crackly cinder-call claw over his other head, and just fucking rakes her fucking face with this claw. So that'll be 25 to hit. Flat-footed or off guard?
With off guard, that is.
Hell yeah!
All right. Okay, that will be 18 damage. She just rakes the gauntlet over her face, and with my last action, I guess I'll just do another attack. This would be bad.
Yeah, why not?
God, stupid mouse.
Get the natty 20.
Come on, natural one.
Fuck.
Oh no. Don't listen to John Dice. Don't listen to him.
I don't roll a lot of natural ones when attacking, so I do. At least it's not magic.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's see. It is torn muscle. Until healed, you're enfeebled one. Sweet.
Womp womp. That sucks, but
ruins my whole ragey strategy right now.
Well, she still grabbed, right?
Normally, I don't give a shit if I'm enfeebled.
I know. Alright, so that's the end of your turn. Benson.
Benson is going to stand, so go ahead and get your attack of opportunity.
Attack of opportunity. Whiff. That was a 3 on the die. The last 3 attacks I've made with all the characters have been 3.
Nice crash,
whoa. Check.
Okay, so Benson stands up, and this attack comes down on him, and he just turns it aside with his shield, and there's a moment where there's, like, silence for a second, and then just Benson's just like, this is what I was made for! And he just goes in again. Like, Benson's battle, what do you call it? Battle fever?
Frenzy. Bloodlust. Yeah, fever.
Benson is going crazy right now.
Let's go.
Unfortunately, the first one misses.
He's too excited.
Yeah, he is.
Can't focus.
Is hungry as can be. Okay. So, hold on, my foundry's being really slow for me for a second. It's not playing on my sheet. 30.
Ooh.
30 as a hit?
Yes.
Fifteen points of slashing damage as he drives his blade into her.
All right. Beautiful. Okay. Is that the end of your turn?
I stood up, missed, hit. So yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, the first one was missed. Elkwood.
Okay. So seeing that Kezra is grabbing her, so he is just going to line up another shot. Like he's just. Let's see here. Then he gets a hefty bonus on this one. Oh my god. That is a 34 to hit.
That's a hit.
Flat-footed, too?
Wait, 34, crit? 35, 36. Sorry.
That's 36.
Because she's grabbed?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then, yeah, her AC would go down 2. That'd be a crit.
Yes! Come on!
Hell yeah!
Beautiful. Oh my god, the crit damage.
Held by the throat and then just shot in the back. Right in the spine.
Oddly middling, but 48 points of damage. I say middling just because it was a 1-on-1. The D6 is, 4-4, okay. 6-1-4, and then a 2 on the D10 deadleg. And she is in the place, too. So
Elkwood shouldn't be allowed to live in regular society. He's too much of a weapon.
Yeah, I mean, he's just going to snipe her once, and he's just going to fire again. I mean, at this point, I mean, she's stuck there.
Do you remember in, like, original D&D when everybody thought rangers were fucking useless?
The rangers in Pathfinder 2nd edition are fun.
So cool.
They just get so many fun little abilities.
You're a fucking monster, man.
Yeah. In 5e, I hear a lot of people say that they're just kind of lackluster, so...
That's what I've heard.
I haven't really looked into the 5e one, but...
Yeah, I mean, like, of course, when I first started this character, too, not all the abilities were even unlocked. Like,
I know, right?
So I was just like, gravity weapon's not there and all that stuff. Mm. But this works. I mean, it's just... I just can't have the mirror coming in here because it can't fit through anything. Jake likes indoor battles here.
I don't. It's whoever wrote this book.
Uh-huh. So that's a plus 16 to hit. So that's a 14 on die. So that's a 30 to hit.
That still hits.
That is taking off Hunter's Edge, though. So it'll just be...
I don't think it's going to matter.
Let's see. Yeah, okay. 23 points of damage.
Okay, so, yeah, that is, so you had six left, so please describe your kill.
Oh, yeah, so, like, Kezra is holding her, you know, destroying her face and stuff with the claw, and then she hits once, hits really, like, square almost in the back, and the second arrow lines up and just, like, you know, like, in Fallout when the VAT system is done, it's just, like, a slow motion, you see the arrow just kind of, like, hit her, like, right in the back again. And just right through the heart, and just she falls limp. And Kezra's off.
If this is Fallout, her whole body would explode too.
Bloody mess perk has been taken.
Mess perk.
But she just falls limp in Kezra's arms. So just
flat.
Just one left to go.
Throws her into the corner.
Right. One Scarlet Triad poisoner down. It comes to you, Grimshaw.
Grimshaw winks at Benson and says. To the bruiser,
this guy here, he wants to kill you, but me, I want to help you out.
Actually, could Benson take a free action?
Go for it.
Alright.
Benson, as he stands about to try to kill this person, he's just going to say, she's the last one. Save her, Grimshaw.
Alright.
I'm not asking you not to hurt her. I'm just asking you not to kill her.
Yeah.
Just don't kill her. Just hit her non-lethally with your spiked mace, okay?
I non-lethally swing my fucking mace at her face.
So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to hold my action.
Okay. You're going to hold?
Yep. And if it looks like she's, like, about to strike, I'll just, like, take my turn and just we'll just continue.
She's about to strike.
All right, I'll just take my turn. I'm going to say,
all right, it's your funeral.
I miss. It's a definite miss.
Okay.
And I forgot to do my little deception thing, so I'll do that now to try to get her flat-footed. 37 against perception.
So that is a success, so she's fine to you.
Okay, I'm taking a minus 5, but hopefully the minus 2 kind of offsets it kind of situation. I rolled another 2. My first roll was a 2, my second roll was a 17, third roll was a 2.
Grimshaw has been cold recently.
I know, I got that one. I got that one kill steal in.
I know.
A couple hits, that's all it been. And he's missing on purpose.
He's just like, I don't want to kill you. This guy really does. Just like, just back off.
She's going to continue with her turn to try and pummel Benson here. So I realized that I think that the knockdown rules got changed.
Oh.
So it looks like the way this is supposed to work is that she attacks with the great club, has knockdown, another action, and then the pummeling flurry is another action. So that's her. That's what her turn's supposed to be.
Hmm.
So yeah, I was kind of nerfing her a little bit. Anyway, first strike with the great club on you, Benson. 31.
Miss.
Second strike. Got backswing this time. Doesn't matter. And third strike with the club. Ah, miss. All right.
Benson's just walking through her now.
But maybe I should have kept with a strategy that wasn't optimal. Anyway, Kezra, it's your turn.
Kezra, fury in his eyes, runs over to here to the middle of the room.
Okay.
And I guess with his last movement, he's going to attempt to jump up on top of this thing.
It's a little podium, so yeah. So yeah, give me a athletics to climb on.
Alrighty. It's pretty good. 29.
Yeah. You climb really well.
All right, and then I will. I'm gonna try to grab her.
All right.
That's a terrible attempt. No, fail. Natural 5, but doesn't stop me from trying to claw her face off. Due for a high roll soon. Okay, that's not too bad, but I don't think it'll be good enough. Because I'm enfeebled as well. It's going to be a close, maybe 28.
No, unfortunately not.
Oh. If I grabbed her, I would have gotten her.
No. Yep. Yeah, actually. and unfortunately, she's only flat-footed to Grimshaw here, so.
So that was grab attack. Yep.
Okay. Benson.
Remind me, if Benson wanted to grapple this person, what would he have to roll?
It would just be an athletics roll against her fortitude DC.
That sounds right.
Okay, so he is going to drop his sword and his shield and try to double leg this person and take them down to the ground and subdue them.
That was really good.
It's 35.
Yeah, that is a success, actually.
Nice.
So I'm going to attempt to subdue this person on the ground.
Okay, so in order to make them immobile, he just has to succeed again. Is that what that is? Because the first time they're just grabbed. The second success is immobilization, if I remember correctly.
I know if you crit on a grapple, it's automatically immobilized.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure the two successes is
a 30 enough. A success?
It is not.
Yeah, unfortunately, not her armor.
So was that just an entire waste of a fucking turn?
Well, she's grabbed.
She's grabbed. Yeah. So
that lowers her AC for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And her AC is already pretty damn low, so or lower. Yes.
That was a 16 on my second roll. I thought I did really good.
I know.
Yeah, but these... I think their entire thing is working.
Their fortitude is their highest by a good bit.
That,
so,
that's...
Elkwood, your turn. Okay.
So, seeing the other poisoner is dead, she is being surrounded. So he's going to hunt prey onto her now, because she's standing, and... doing a hunter's aim, which ignores soft color. So,
yep.
Beautiful. Boom, plus 2 for that. 33 to hit.
That's a hit, my friend.
All right, beautiful. So she's like being swarmed by people. And just see his arrow come out behind Kezra's head. And does. Oh my god, 30 points of damage again.
Yeah, this fight is fucking over.
Yeah, really. Okay.
God, I mean, boxcars on the lightning and fire damage. So.
Nice.
Beautiful.
Okay.
That's it.
Grimshaw, your turn. She is grabbed by Kezra, but she is still flat-footed to you, so...
Excuse me, she's grabbed by me.
Sorry.
Everyone grab...
grab her! Get her!
Get him!
I mean, I did tell you I wanted a hostage.
Yeah. I'm just trying to look up, like, non-lethal.
Non-lethal with a spike mace.
I don't know if you brought it up on that turn, but Hunter's Aim, they updated it to also exclude cover, not just concealment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, okay.
That,
yeah,
I like what just I was you guys. Oh yeah, no, just you guys in the way don't matter. So
yeah, it's pretty good. It's awesome.
All right, so so they're grabbed right now. So they're already flat-footed. I can take a -2 circumstance penalty to my attack roll, and then I can make an non-lethal attack that way.
Okay,
which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. So that's what I'm gonna do. Just use the bludgeoning part of the Morning Star. So -2. So 30, 28.
That is a hit.
Ooh. Let's go. Feels like barely. Oh, wow. 16 points of non-lethal bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
So,
still up.
God damn, these people have so much fucking health.
Oh, yeah, especially these guys.
Yeah. That's my first action. I have two actions. Ooh, I have two actions. Well, this is fun. So with my next two actions, I'm just going to take, I'm going to, like, use the Morning Star, and instead of smashing, I'm going to channel necrotic energy through it, and I need your bruiser to make a basic fortitude save.
Alrighty.
They're shit at that.
27.
Whoa. Really?
Yeah.
That's not great at all.
No, that was a very low roll.
That's a very, very low roll, in fact. And I think that is actually a fail. Oh my gosh. I get to do full damage to you.
Huh. And wait, what was this?
It's a void warp. Warp the energies, and I do void damage. Uh-huh. Yeah, it is void damage.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think it's, yeah.
It's just void damage, yeah. So it's 6d4 worth of damage. I got 5d4 right here. Oh my gosh, so many dice. I don't even have that many d4s.
I gotta roll more than once to get all this damage in.
If anybody has enough d4s, it's freaking you.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm missing dice because the dice gremlin has stolen some d4s. That is 14 points of void damage.
Okay. Please describe your kill.
Hey.
No. She gets knocked out because I've already done non-lethal, right?
Yeah, but okay. Oh, okay.
Because the non-lethal would equal the HP that I've taken away.
Okay, then. Wait, you can make
void warp non-lethal.
No. I mean, I don't think you can with this. But I did non-lethal damage.
Oh,
so right. It has 16 points of non-lethal, and now I'm doing hit point damage. So now the non-lethal damage is more than the hit points that they had left. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll believe you because I don't actually know. I don't know the rules.
Yeah, I was gonna say I haven't looked that up.
Because non-lethal damage is like a separate track.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So
anyway,
so I just tap the Morning Star to her head, and the energies warp, and she's hit 0 HP and passes out.
Oh. Get off of me! Get off of me, Mac! And she falls over, passes out.
As you requested. Alive, but barely.
As Benson lifts this person up and puts them on the nearest bench to prepare them for questioning.
Ooh. Okay. So I guess you put her over here on the little. Because remember, this is a is a lecture hall.
Yes.
So there's like the. Riser seating, so you just put her on one of the desks.
And Benson will also instantly heal himself.
Fair enough. So she'll be knocked out for a little while. Now I will ask this: there is, you know, that the room that the floor above you is occupied. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we might not have time for this.
Yeah, like everything's occupied above here, and all it takes is a patrol to screw this up. If they do patrols.
That's true.
And it's not like we were fucking quiet.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. What else? Because Elkwood already kind of indicated what's kind of up here. And I don't know what information you would actually get from her.
Well, we could get what's on the other floors, at least.
I'll have the person the highest deception to go up there and tell her, like, yeah, we'll do, you'll be fine, you'll be alive. That way we'll just kill her afterwards. If she gives us information. If she...
Okay, so if she's calmly out, Benson will post up next to this door and see if anybody starts coming. Mm-hmm.
Actually, from where Elkwood is, I could, I have a good view of the doorways.
Yeah, so the northern side, or the northern hemisphere of this floor, is the stairs coming, the stairs going up onto the floor you came in, going, and then there's stairs going east or clockwise around the tower, and you know that those would go up, so you know that nobody would be able to come. Nobody would be able to come up behind you because they'd have to come down or up those stairs. Mm-hmm. So you have this. You have this bruiser. Her name is Ivina.
I'm just afraid of her yelling, as well.
We could gag her.
And then she wouldn't be able to tell us anything.
Yeah, but we could at least control when she says anything.
Yes, seems like a decent idea. I'm just stab her if it gets too out of hand. I mean, not much to it. And he is kind of...
Whatever you think you need to do, just do it. Yes,
Grimshaw, you're up. I'll keep an eye out on the doorway here.
So, we're going to try to question her.
Yeah, and you're the best one at this, so...
Alright. So we splash a little water, do a little smelling salts.
You never know when you're going to need smelling salts.
You punch her in the face, knocks her back out.
Damn it.
Hey, one of you, I need a lay on hands.
Come here.
Cool. How much is it? Is it 30?
He just gives him a 30, yeah.
Sorry, what'd you give me?
30.
No, I meant you gave me a smack on the what?
Smack on the shoulder.
Okay, good. That's what I was hoping for.
By the way, if we can get 10 minutes out of this, Benson is going to try to get a point back, but if not, that's what happens.
Yeah, me too.
That's fair. Well, I mean, she won't even wake up for hours.
What?
Because that's how that works.
Well,
so.
We gave her the smelling salts.
I know. I'm just saying that, like if you wanted to take a 10-minute while she's clearly knocked out for a while, you can't.
Okay. Yeah, and then we rouse her.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, because Benson, you're pretty hurt too, right?
Pretty hurt, but after the one I gave myself, if I get another couple 10 minutes, I'll be fine.
Okay. I could give you. I'm full focus points, so I could give you one, and I could refocus that and get it back.
Yeah, I'll be fine. I'll be fine after that.
Yeah. So take 30.
Okay. All right, so she is still knocked out, and she's sitting in one of the desks in this auditorium.
Okay, all right, I'm gonna rouse. Well, I mean, okay. Here's the thing, though: if they come down, if she yells and they come down to us, we just start taking pot shots. That's no biggie. But if they start trapping things, that's unfortunate.
Yes.
And
all we know from the floor above is that there was two statues that were up there that I don't know what they are, but they probably can't follow us or come down. But at the same time, that's possible golem.
I mean, we could sack the potatoes and take her down to first floor. We don't have to tie her up here.
That's true.
Yeah, go down a floor, actually. Just probably
I would
one floor.
Go down a couple floors.
Three floors. And then we'll find the two people back making out, and then we throw a body down there.
Quit making out. We have to do an interrogation here.
All right, so you guys are bringing her
yeah,
down.
Yeah, we kick out more cross-starred lovers. And
Yeah. So you go down, and the guy almost had his belt off, and you're like, hey, I get it. He's like, come on, man.
It's the same
dude,
guy.
There's a movie theater right across the street. Have some class.
It's the same guy, too. He's just like, come on.
It's been an hour. It's like okay, so you guys go downstairs, and you guys are on the first floor now.
Mm-hmm.
and you tie her up on a chair or something down there.
Yeah.
We drag her by the feet so her head bangs on every step.
Sack of potatoes, sack of potatoes.
All right, what do you guys do?
All right, I'm rousing her.
All right, you rouse her with a song, a...
Smelling salts. Remember, I canonically, right, I salts. Keep those.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The definitely smelling the salts that are face. Definitely real.
Smelling salts are definitely real.
You take out a bag of smelling salts, and she... She goes, like, lurching towards you, like, chair falls over. She's like, I'll break your fucking legs!
You know, you can't break anything. We just have a couple questions.
I'll break you!
Just have a couple questions. And we'll let you go. Alright? Tell us what those statues are. What's the statues?
Statues are there to fuck you, and she tries to keep climbing towards you.
Alright. That's pretty good, actually, so we gotta deal with the statues. Alright, what other kind of defenses are on that floor?
Since she's been struggling, let me see if she's able to break out of this or not.
Elka, by the way, would be
if she breaks out, there's literally going to be a hail of fists that come down.
I just void warp again, you know? Like, void warp would literally kill her outright.
She's... wow. There's a 41, so that chair disintegrates under her.
And I void warp her.
All right. Okay.
All right. Roll a 40. I mean, a fortitude save.
A 40.
A 40.
I got a 40.
I haven't had one of those in years.
Give her a 40.
Fortitude save. 24. Fail.
Fail. Dead.
Okay. Dead. All right. That's awesome.
Sorry, Benson.
All you've learned is that these statues fuck you.
Wait, they fuck you literally? Oh no.
I guess that's not ideal, but we have some information, I guess.
Is this a sex tower?
Technically, she would have received an attack of opportunity.
What, from Void Warp?
Yeah.
It's manipulate action.
It's fine.
Does it?
Fine.
Yeah. Does it have
manipulate? No, she was tied. She was getting
up. Joking. I don't want her.
The ample opportunity Grimshaw had was fine.
Yeah.
Anyway,
she really didn't have any concern for her life. You can't really work with that.
I feel like most of these people do not. So I would say we might as well kill on sight.
Agreed.
Well, that was the general plan. I just hope to get some ideas of the floors above.
Yes. Unfortunately, they are more... Well, besides the... what were those? The thugs or the stalkers? Which one were the ones that we were chasing around the city?
They were stated as thugs. So they were just there's regular... Yes,
besides the hierarchy of this organization, it just seems like... They're so zealots to it. So the only way to cut something out like this is just to kill them. I'll take a lead to see these statues. We'll go back up, and he will use stealth in order to move up the stairs. With my stealth check, I get to see if there's anything else going on, too.
Well, if we know that they're like constructs and they're just kind of activate upon proximity, like, do they don't really have eyes, right? They're just like,
it depends.
They just kind of like trigger once a certain like proximity, like, you know, something is reached.
It,
like, you could stealth, but would it?
It depends.
Work?
So I do have a feat that makes sure that I check, make sure if there's anything magical going on as well. Like, for traps and stuff. Mm. But this is something that, if they are constructs, and I'm stealthing up there, I can at least see what's going on. And my theory is that they can't leave that room.
Mm.
So, hopefully that's the case.
Yeah, you could just walk on down.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I just don't go to the, like, bare top of the stairs, see what happens. If they don't react to me... then
we could do the Dark Souls thing and just run through the room and be like, bye.
I'll run through aggro all the enemies, I'll run down the stairs. They can't use the stairs, so they'll trip and fall. And they'll just keep rolling.
Take that, nerds.
Some statues tumble down to the first floor, and the team is like, oh, not again.
He's like, Benson, get the trip line. We got this. We're going home alone this shit. Alright.
I'm good with that.
Paint cans.
Alright.
Yeah, you'll stealth up there.
Okay. So you are going to begin stealthing up. Let me bring you to the 7th floor. So you are already in there. Let me get you on there. Let me see. Pull the tokens. There we are. So you guys are obviously not up here. I'm just making sure that all your tokens are there. Okay.
Oh, this is fun. I mean, it's a fantastic roll, I will say. It's a fantastic roll for stealth. Yeah. It's just that I wish I would have done this for combat as well. Because that was a natural 20.
Hey!
So, my stealth is a 41.
Oh my gosh.
God damn. You're an absolute fucking monster.
I am hopefully very invisible right now. Unless these things have life sense. I'm like a thing.
Okay. So. Interesting.
I'm just, like, imagining that, like, there's, like, some, like, folklore started about, like, Elkwood. They just call him the Grim. And it's, like...
Right.
Like, you'll never hear him when you're sleeping. You'll never awake. Because he'll sneak up on you and kill you, for goodness sake.
You won't hear him when you're sleeping. You're like, that. I mean, who?
And then his bird will feast on your guts.
Yep. Your body will not... There will be no trace. He's a big freaking bird.
And there will never be a trace.
So...
Sorry, I had to find the image of this thing. So, Elkwood, you go up here, and you are silent as the night. More silent, in fact, I think. Mm. And so you very slowly tiptoe your way up these stone steps, managing to avoid any sort of loose stones or anything like that that might be here in this old tower. And you get up and you see these two statues. I'm going to reveal what they look like.
Oh, jeez.
They look like this.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, no.
Wait, you didn't give us, that detail last time.
No.
Because the stained glass was too foggy or something.
Obscured. They look like classic Greek sculptures. Greek sculptures through the glass.
Upon closer inspection, they have
They didn't syringes. Have no brains floating in them.
Brains floating, syringe hands, wood legs.
Oh, my God.
Wait, this is actually really bad.
Yeah. And there's two of them?
Yeah, there are two.
Now are two of them.
Not God, God damn you!
Oh, great. So helps. See, I'm trying to remember in this, and I'm just like, I know what they are. I
Yeah, you, Mark, know what these things are.
We faced them in Sticky Business, I think. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
Was it
Sticky Business?
No, it was in a Pathfinder Society game.
That's right.
Yeah, when you faced one of these, it was broken.
Yeah, that's right.
And also, the funniest bit was the fact that we were playing with Jed's character, Torque the Orc, who was like an absolute freak of Venus. So we were saying that he had to avoid the doping accusations after taking so many shots.
Great. So
this is fucked up, man.
All right, so he's like sees these two, and they don't notice him.
They do not notice you. So it looks like they're just sort of standing there in the corner, idly. It looks like they're just standing.
So I guess, like, when I peered through the window, were they, like, sentries, like, both on each side or something? So
yep. So they're just tucked away in the corner. You know, the looking at them now, they're vaguely humanoid.
I guess I don't. Elk wouldn't know what these things are. So can I roll check?
If you want to roll,
you can come ask Kezra.
I also have a crafting skill.
Go talk to Kezra, and Kezra's like, yeah, we should leave.
We should just set the tower on fire.
Right?
You get a... go make me a perception check while you're up here, too.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Ooh, good stuff. 33.
You get a pretty good description of them. But what you do hear up here, it sounds like in one of the rooms in the back, you can hear people working and talking. So it sounds like people are kind of like maybe moving stuff around, working with tools or something like that. It sounds like they're sort of talking amongst themselves.
Jeez. All right, and they're not in pain either, so this means that there's more slavers up here. Great. Fantastic. And so he sees these two. Anything else in the room at all?
No, so let me just describe this.
Is there a way that I can look
at
like
nope, no, this is the only thing. So in this main, this is like a foyer into the on this floor.
Right.
So you see the two statue things, and there's a room statues. Or there's a door to the northwest. There's a door directly to the west, kind of down a hallway, and then there's a one to the southwest. So it's sort of like a crescent shape on the east side of the hemisphere or of the circle, and then there's like three rooms that dot the other sectors.
Hmm. Okay, so while he's up here, he is just going to take a look as much, get as much info as possible, and he's going to slink back down the stairs.
Okay.
And he's going to look at Kezra, because he knows Kezra might know this thing, and he will describe in detail what these monstrosities are.
I just realized that these things are on the front of the critical hit deck. There's a rogue stabbing one that is gushing goo all over the place. But yeah, look at his little neat, damn, his little needle hands.
Cool.
Well, make me a recall knowledge to figure out if you
crafting if Kezra knows and Arcana. I have both, so we're crafting first.
Yes, same DC for both. So,
so the crafting was an 24, really bad roll.
This dice to know anything on crafting.
I'm putting the thing away.
I mean, could I...
My Arcana... I rolled a 5.
No, let's see if the guy Wait, what'd you get?
I rolled a 5. I rolled a 6 6 on the die and a 5 on the die for my 2 checks. So...
thinking about it, and you're just like... I'm sorry, there's giant men with...
Brains?
Vials of alchemy on them? What are you talking about?
Brains and chars?
You're talking crazy shit.
Yeah.
You don't know what you saw.
I mean, normally, yes, but no, this is what's happening. I said Elk does have crafting as a skill, so can I roll that?
Good, roll.
I could at least heard an inkling of it, and that is a no, because that's a 22, so no.
These things are completely unknown to you guys.
So good to have knowledge.
Grimshaw's been thinking about it. He's thinking about his arcane knowledge. Mm-hmm. He rolled a 30?
30. That is a success. Yes.
Wait, guys. And Grimshaw, he shuffles around in his bag and he pulls out a pamphlet.
Oh my god.
And it says, you and...
The Noxious Needler.
You and the Noxious Needler.
You and the Noxious Needler. Noxious
Needler and you.
The Noxious Needler and you.
I have a pamphlet on this.
The first page says, this construct is a walking alchemical nightmare capable of inflicting all manner of painful wounds. The Noxious Needler's ability to follow orders is granted by the otherwise mindless humanoid brain that floats in their dome-like heads, allowing them to serve as laborers and guards for their creators. In exceptionally rare cases, the brain used in the creation might retain fragments of memories or even an actual intellect, resulting in a Noxious Needler with a personality and agenda of its own. You know one specific thing about this. What thing would you like to know? Immunities, defenses, special abilities, blah, blah, blah.
Immunities.
Immunities. They are golems, technically, so here's a list.
Okay.
They're immune to... bleed, death effects, disease, doom, drain, fatigued, healing, mental, non-lethal attacks, paralyzed, poison, sickness, spirit damage, unconscious, vitality, void damage. Oh. And I'll give you this, they're resistant to physical 10.
Oh. Oh.
Damn these guys.
Oh.
You guys, however, aren't resistant to the episode coming next week.
Oh. Fuck yeah, these things.
Oh, it's really cool. They're really resistant to a lot of things. It's just... Oh, man, we have to fight these, don't we?